Muammar Gaddafi is sitting on a pot of gold.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There's word this morning that the American-led military campaign has cut Libya's air defenses in half. The military action follows economic sanctions and a freeze of assets associated with Muammar Gaddafi. But a report in this morning's Financial Times says Gaddafi is sitting on so much gold that he and his army will be well-funded for some time, sanctions or not. Jack Farchi wrote the story for the Financial Times, and he's with us now from London. Good morning.
Morning.
So how much gold are we talking about here, and where did Gaddafi get it?
Well, the Libyan Central Bank holds about 144 tons of gold, according to the IMF. We suspect that actually it may hold a little bit more than that, and that's gold that they've had for quite a while. They bought it probably in the 80s, the 90s, the early part of this decade.
And the reason that this is such a big issue, obviously, is because Gaddafi can use this gold to pay the people who are fighting for him.
Exactly. And the gold price, as I'm sure you know, has shot up in the last decade.
Yeah.
So 144 or 150 tons of gold is worth something like $6.5-7 billion at the moment at current prices. The central bank is running quite short of hard currency because of the sanctions that have been put in place by the US and European countries. So if he can sell the gold, he's got a source of an awful lot of hard currency that could keep him going for a lot longer.
And you write in your story today that gold is a particularly attractive currency for criminals and dictators.
Well, indeed. It's a currency which is very hard to trace. And of course, unlike a dollar, or a euro, it doesn't rely on any government for its value. So it was very easy. If Gaddafi can get the gold out of the country, it can be melted down, and then it's impossible to know where it's come from.
Jack Farchi, reporter for the Financial Times, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, the $39 billion T-Mobile takeover plan announced yesterday by AT&T was hailed as good news on Wall Street, and that's not just because it's the latest sign of an improving economy. This is the sort of payday that big banks have been waiting for ever since the economy tanked 3 years ago. Our senior business correspondent Bob Moon explains.
A penny for your thoughts? How about $145 million? That's what AT&T and T-Mobile's parent Deutsche Telekom reportedly could be paying just for advice from a half dozen investment firms. They don't simply sign off on a deal.
It seems like a very quick culmination, but oftentimes this is a process that has been going on for a very long time.
Hyder Harris is a corporate matchmaker at Harris Williams. He says firms like his can play a key role in arranging financing and deciding if firms are a good fit. In this case, J.P. Morgan Chase apparently thinks so. It's not just advising AT&T. It's chipping in the biggest loan it's ever made, $20 billion. Vipal Monga writes for The Deal and thinks this could bode well for the whole economy.
J.P. Morgan was one of the first banks to start pulling out of the large leverage buyouts that sort of initiated the credit crunch. So for J.P. Morgan to be stepping in, and Jamie Dimon in particular, known as one of the more conservative leaders of any bank out there, suggests that there's a lot of comfort.
Not to mention a lot of money to be made on pent-up merger demand. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher across the globe right now. Tokyo shares jumped more than 4% today, though there's word this morning that supplies of some seafood from Japan, including farmed scallops, could be cut off for a year or more because of the tsunami. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 178 points to close at 12,036.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. By MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at MassMutual.com/mutuality. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
We are 1 year into the Obama health care law, and even though most of the law's major provisions haven't kicked in yet, hospitals and insurance companies are getting ready. One way the law tries to cover more of the uninsured is by setting up insurance cooperatives, or co-ops. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer visited a clinic in Maryland that's trying to morph into a co-op.
The clinic is in Howard County, Maryland, just outside Baltimore. Posters on the wall urge preventive dental care for babies and tell pregnant women with AIDS to get counseling. The clinic is part of a county program for the uninsured and working poor called Healthy Howard. Patients pay $50 to $85 a month for a set number of doctor visits.
All right. seat here. Let me check you out.
Deborah Dunn is a physician's assistant with Healthy Howard. She's seen a lot of people who lost their jobs and insurance during the financial crisis.
Well, I'm seeing the patients having heart attacks and strokes as a result of not being able to afford their medications because of losing their insurances.
These are the types of people the co-op would serve. Healthy Howard and the co-op are the brainchild of the county health officer, Dr. Peter Bielenson. He's using Healthy Howard as a blueprint for his co-op, taking it statewide. Bielenson's co-op would charge a low monthly premium. Patients would see staff doctors who earn a straight salary instead of being paid by the procedure. Each patient would be given a personal health coach and action plan to kick bad habits. Sounds hokey, but Bielenson says it's paid off at Healthy Howard.
Poor eating habits, lack of exercise, smoking. So we work on all of those things, and that's helped to reduce costs.
And that's the idea behind the co-ops, inject some nimble competition into a health insurance market dominated by giants. Sabrina Corlett is a health policy analyst at Georgetown University.
You have in many states one or two big insurers dominating 70, 80, even 90% of the market. So the whole idea behind the co-op plans was to use that competition to bring prices down for consumers.
Bielenson says the co-op would charge about $300 a month for a family of four. Maryland will be setting up an exchange where people can shop for health insurance as part of the health care law. Bielenson expects the co-op to be listed when the exchange opens in 2014. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where Daniel Raines was caught after robbing a bank. How do we know the name of this bank robber? Because right before he robbed the bank, he gave the teller two forms of ID because he was trying to open a new account. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson, which I can tell you because I am not planning on robbing any banks today. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't mess around with fire because the little things can make a big difference.
If all homes were sprinklered, we would anticipate that the death rate due to fires would go down by at least 83% based on cost-benefit studies.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of Fire and the numbers from Wall Street as well. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.